Romans 13 today. I call this one, Submit to Authority and Other Punk Rock Anthems. You know, there are parts of the gospel that are appealing to just about anyone, and some that aren't. Imagine for a moment that I have an audience of punk rockers, rebellious, passionate, fired up punks. In chapter 12, when I said, do not conform, they'd say, yeah. When I say no hypocrisy, that love must be genuine, that's right, people should be real. When I say love your enemies, well, that's getting a little deep. But when chapter 13 begins, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. Dude, you betrayed us. Now, if I didn't sound punk there, it's because I was more of a classic rock and metal head in my day. But actually, this is a tough one for all kinds of Christians. Be subject to governing authority means government, police, school officials. And the real problem here is that lots of those are bad, really bad. And a lot of them are anti-Christian. Governing authorities have been responsible for persecuting Christians and all kinds of other atrocities throughout history. So maybe Paul wrote this before all governments turned bad. Nope. Paul himself was persecuted by government. He was mistreated by police, put on trial, went to prison, all for preaching Christ. So why on earth would Paul say this? Well, let's hear him out. Verse 1. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. The key word for you is subject. That means to be under the jurisdiction of. It doesn't mean government has ultimate rule. Christians, you obey a higher law, but your higher law does not mean that you are above the law. Remember, lots of Jews expected Jesus to overthrow the Romans, but he didn't work that way. Jesus overthrew the idols ruling in our hearts, but he left the tyrants ruling in the capital, for now. And Jesus respected their earthly authority. He told Pilate, you would have no authority if it were not given to you from above. That's what Paul says here. God established government authority. That doesn't mean that they're all good. It means God ordained government, and they will answer to God. But you and I are called to work within the system, even within corrupt systems. Remember the context here. Paul just said, love your enemies, and do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Part of that is respecting the rule of law and the rule of government. Verse 2. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. Now, many Christians face a dilemma here. Paul says, do what's right, and you don't have to fear authority. But what if the authority punishes you for doing right, for preaching the gospel even? Well, what did they do in the Bible? There's lots of them. Joseph in Egypt, Daniel in Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Jesus, the disciples, all of them respected authority, obeyed the law in all matters social and civil, but obeyed God in all matters spiritual. They obeyed the law unless the law commanded them to disobey God. When that happened, many were jailed. They obeyed God first, but they submitted to man's consequences. They were punished, but just as Paul says, they did not fear. And even in jail, their respect for law shined. Their love for fellow prisoners and for cruel jailers even got many people saved. See, if they had just rebelled against all wicked authority, they'd be written off as rebellious punks hiding behind religion. And some people really are just that. Paul says, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. In other words, if you break the law, expect punishment. But our Bible heroes were not punks. They were model citizens under wicked rulers. Now, this is easier said than done, of course. The founding fathers in America wrestled these verses in their rebellion against England. You can read their challenges. Or more recently, read Dietrich Bonhoeffer in Nazi Germany or Richard Wurmbrand in communist Romania. It's not a simple issue, and there's no easy answer, but Romans 13 has essential guidelines. In verse 6, this is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Now, this one is controversial. Taxes. This one hits home. And some Christians have refused to pay taxes on the principle that their taxes would pay for abortions or wars that they don't agree with. And surprise enough, they get arrested. Remember, Jesus paid taxes to a Roman government doing wicked things. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. Paul says people who govern should be paid for their work. Now, I don't much like the idea of leaders who set their own salary. That's another story. The one question that isn't really answered here is how politically involved should Christians be? For that, I can only say the Bible doesn't give a lot of direction, which might be a clue. What Paul says here is be a good citizen, which for most of us includes voting intelligently and standing up for causes that matter. Isaiah 58 calls us to loose the chains of injustice and to set the oppressed free. And truly, Christians have made a phenomenal mark in many countries as they work within the law for the sake of justice and equality. However, many Christians have put so much emphasis on politics that the word evangelical has almost become a political party. Now, that's a problem. What I don't see anywhere in the Bible is a calling to pour most of our energy into simply being political. If that's your personal calling, may God lead you. But when politics takes over the focus of entire churches, we can lose sight of the gospel, of our mission to save. And focus on law makes Christians legalistic. So please strive for balance. Now, verse 7 emphasizes paying what you owe, whether taxes or wages or even respect or honor. Verse 8, let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Again, Paul brings it back to love. Pay all your debts, but you can never pay off your love debt. Why? Because God gave you so much love, undeserved, unearned. He just poured it out, and he gave you only one option for repayment of debt. Love your neighbor. So make installments every day. Love is not above the law. Love fulfills the law. Paul sums up half the Ten Commandments with just one. Love your neighbor as yourself. That covers adultery, murder, stealing, and even coveting. When you love people, you don't want their stuff. You want them to be happy. Love is the new law. So Paul is given a lot of instruction. Then he turns to inspiration. Verse 11. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Paul says, wake up. This amazing way to live as a Christian should have some urgency to it. Nap time is over, kids. God calls us to live ready, ready for Jesus to return at any time. Listen, forget about all the kooks who picked a day for the end of the world. Jesus told us to watch for the season, not the day, because he wants us ready every day. Now, being rapture ready has three basic options. One, the 3G strategy. Gold, guns, and I'm gone. Sorry, but it's not biblical. Two is the YOLO strategy. Quit my job, rack up the credit, and hope he gets here quick to get me out. That's a bad idea. And three is live right all the time. Ready for launch when you are, Captain. Verse 12, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Romans 13, ready for launch.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.